You're on with Mario Lopez.
You're on with Mario Lopez. Joining me now on Zoom from Shark Tank, Barbara Corcoran. Welcome to the show. How are you, Barbara?
Very good. And it's really nice to be with you. We have the same kind of shirt on.
That's right. What? Looks much better on you. I see the nice trophies prominently placed behind you. I see an Emmy.
Of course.
I see. What is that to your left right there?
I don't even know. I probably bought it on eBay.
Fair enough. I'm sure you got a great deal. Well, congratulations. Currently season 13 of Shark Tank. I love the show. You can't help but get sort of captivated and drawn in. But why do you think audiences are still connected after all these years?
Because they're not only drawn in, they weigh in. They weigh in with each other when they're sitting at home. What do you think? Would you buy that? You think you should take that shark or that shark? Will that work? Would I pay that much? They're paying too much. So it's not a kind of show you listen to and quietly absorb. Everybody has a comment. I can't travel in an airport, which is less frequently than it used to be, without people coming and commenting on a deal I passed or a deal I made. I'm like, whoa, they're more into it than I am. You know?
Absolutely.
So it's engaging. The word, in short, it's engaging.
And aspirational. I oftentimes I'm like, I think I have a good idea. And then I rehearse my little pitch that I would give to you. You've made more than 50 deals on the show. For the most part, have they paid off?
Actually, it's over 100 at this point. But
wow.
30 years. Have they paid off? Depends on the deal. More don't pay off than pay off in terms of making money on your original investment. But the ones that pay off tend to pay off fairly big. And make up for the losses on the ones that don't. So you're always ahead, but never ahead enough where I'm thinking to myself, I'm making a killing this season. I'm always nervous.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's great all the way around. You win. You're making dreams come true. I love it. You've also got a podcast, Business Unusual. Great title. What do you talk about on there?
I answer questions. I interview people as everyone does, but I'm always looking for someone that has an odd spin on something or a different way of looking at life. But what I like the best about is my 888 Barber line that people call in and do those interviews. Because people have everyday problems that are crippling them, baffling them, making them feel discouraged, whatever. And I happen to be really good at giving advice. I probably should have been a shrink in another life. But people call in with the craziest thing. Like the other day, I had a crazy guy call in. He wanted 9 feet tall, and he swore he could bring back the dinosaurs. Well, that's a nut job, but he was so engaged. He fell in love with them. People ask, you know, practical things like, how do I get the money to start the business? How do I get my confidence up? One woman a couple of weeks ago wanted to know how she should leave her husband. Tomorrow would be fine. Hey, here's how to leave your husband. She wanted to do it by tomorrow. And then
it's ambitious.
How to fire my mother, which I've done, so I could get great advice. People ask whatever they want to ask, but I think I give really good.
I bet you do, and I love that you're sort of running the gamut on all sorts of different topics. My mom likes to give herself raises without me knowing. And, you know, being I'm a big mama's boy, I let her take advantage. Is this true? I read you had 22 jobs before you started your real estate company.
Yes, but those aren't professions, remember. I worked since I was 11, so I was 24 when I got my real job, which was starting my own business. Thank God I got that job.
Right.
But they were menial jobs. But let me tell you, by the time I was 24, I was like an old lady inside. I knew a lot about business, not in a sophisticated way, but I knew how to wait on counters, how to charm customers. I knew how to sell merchandise. I had like such a series of menial jobs, but you learn by doing. And so that was my Harvard MBA. I think I came out smarter than the guys at Harvard.
Yeah, no, you're right. As soon as you dive in and it becomes real and you're able to apply it in practical real life situations, that's the best way to learn. But would you essentially say you made your fortune though through real estate?
No, I wouldn't. I would say I made my fortune through people. When I built my real estate business, I only focused on one thing. Who could I get? Who could I make better? Who could I motivate? Who could I get to follow me? Who could I get to dream as big as I was dreaming? Who would buy in and how could I keep them once they bought in? And so I became really good at recruiting, retaining, and motivating. And that's my gift. I didn't know very much about real estate, but I didn't need to because I had 1,000 people that were selling real estate. It's funny, today I was with a guy last night at a little dinner. And he said to me, he said, oh, you know the apartment, and he named some address. I said, sure. I always lie. Because in any of those apartments.
Sure.
He only sold one apartment and rented like seven. I sold one. People think, wow, she's been to every palace in the city. Right. Nah, I haven't been. My agents were. They sold it. They collected the 6% commissions, and our company got a substantial portion of that. And that's how I made my empire. So you could say real estate, but I don't think of it that way. I think of it through great people.
That's such a smart way to think about it. And you're right. If you can have those people skills, they really do go such a long way, and you can apply it to everything. I just always like hearing real estate stories on a personal note, because being in the entertainment industry, it's incredibly fluid and unpredictable. So I've always felt real estate, they're not making any more of it. And I like conservative investments. So great. Good. What would you tell someone who is starting out with, let's just say $1,000 or $2,000 to their name, but they were ambitious?
Well, first of all, to challenge yourself, are you truly ambitious? You know, a lot of people mix up enthusiasm with ambition. Mm-hmm. Very different. Everybody's got beginner enthusiasm. It's like when you have your first love, your first day, whoa, we're in love, love. No, ambition is a part you have to have when you're in the marriage to push through, never lose the faith and get to the finish line. So, yeah, you have to ask yourself, are you ambitious? Do you envision yourself as that somebody, whatever that is, in living color? I haven't met any entrepreneurs who got there without a vision of themselves, not a business plan, but a vision of themselves. So I think that's key. And I think you have to not jump over the most essential step or question in business, which is as simple as, none of my sales, what are my returns, my margins, all that stuff we hear on Shark Tank. The essential question, which is, does this business make common sense? And two, would enough people buy it? Would they buy that service? Would they buy that product? Would enough people do it to make a business? If not, it's a hobby. You could bake cakes, specialty pineapple cake. But if not enough people are dying for a pineapple cake, you're not going to have a business. You're going to have a hobby. But a lot of people skip that step. So I think that is the essential step. And you could bring it to the street. You don't have to have a prototype. You could have a drawing. You could have something made out of paper or wood that you made yourself. And if, let's say, you have a child's product, you could take it to the school and ask every 20 women in line dropping off their kids, would you buy this? What would you pay? Would you buy this? What would you pay? And chances are very good you would start that business, because you'll find out there's no demand. But those are essential questions. Does it make sense? Will enough people buy it? And then to just do a little kicking of the tire, test it out there versus get a patent, hire an attorney, talk to your neighbors, get dad to invest in it. How about just trying it on the street and seeing if anybody even wants the product?
Such great, smart advice. Yes, absolutely. We're coming up on the finals of another season of Dancing with the Stars.
Don't even mention it.
Did you not have a great experience?
Till I got rejected, number one, I was fabulous. I had a blast learning how to dance, because I had never danced in my life, except, you know, my same two-step I've been doing since high school.
Right.
Now I know how to dance.
There you go.
So good-looking to dance with. At my age, get a handsome guy like that, practice with every day, wonderful.
It's a win-win.
And I got number one rejection. I feel so good. I thought I was going to win. I didn't know I was going to get number one out. I thought I was going to be number one at the end.
I think people probably thought, she's already winning in life. She's good.
You know what people thought, Mara? People thought, she can't dance. They're right.
Good for you, though, to put yourself out there. How old are the kids? What are they into?
My own children?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to which kids, which is my oldest, Tom, is 28. He has his own business. He builds buildings, renovates, invests. Not my business. I was in the brokerage end. I think he's crazy over there, but he's doing well. And my daughter, Kate, is only 16, and she's fanatical about basketball. That's her thing right now for the moment.
Okay. She's a hooper. Nice. Nice. Do you have time to watch TV? Do you get to relax and...
No, and it's not that you make the time for whatever you want. Do I watch TV is the question? Never. Oh, never. And why I say, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, we have something else. I'm sorry, Mario, we have I might as well call it what it is. We have a camera guy on the lighting over there who has a problem with what he had for lunch.
I heard that. And I'm like, okay, Barbara, you're feeling very relaxed.
I'm going to be honest. I was doing something else. I thought that was maybe Mario.
No. I love that. Barbara put him on blast. That's like my new favorite moment. Actually, shout out to the camera guy.
Kind of sounds like he put her on blast.
Right.
Hey, listen, we don't have any more problems. He already left. He went out the door. We're all clear.
Poor guy will never be able to look you in the eye. That's awesome.
Yeah, he's worked for me a lot of years. I know he has a gas issue. It's okay.
Clearly, he's very comfortable.
I'm sorry. You know what we were talking about. What were we talking about?
We were talking about watching TV, but you choose not to.
You know what? I'm too antsy to watch TV. I just can't settle in. I got too much energy. So I never, and you know what else? It's a weird thing. No matter what I'm watching, Exception is a phenomenally beautiful movie, like a great historical novel. Mm-hmm. That I could get engaged in for a while. But what happens is I hate watching somebody else do their life, when I could be spending the time doing my own. You know what I mean? I'm a little too selfish to be joyful for somebody else's great adventures. I'm too greedy. I want, no, what am I going to do for me? You know, I'll spend that time figuring that out. You know?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, because it's my business, so I got to kind of be aware of stuff, but I only do it at night right before I'm going to go to bed for about an hour or so. That's it. During the day, I feel like I'm being lazy or I'm not being productive in it. So I totally get you right there. Congratulations on everything. Please give your cameraman my best. I think he's awesome. I love that guy.
No, I'm going to send him over to you, Marin. He's going to apply to work for you for a change.
Fair enough. All right. Everyone, be sure to watch Shark Tank Fridays on ABC. Barbara, thanks so much for checking in.
Thanks again.
Take care.
On with Mario Lopez. Woo!